Everyone in this room is in danger. You know what the danger is? Everybody, every Christian in this room is not from the devil. You have power over him. You have armor to defeat him. It's not over the pitfalls and the accidents that may befall you in a fallen world. Christ said, I'll keep what you commit unto me. If you commit your soul unto me, you commit your life unto me. Isn't that what's so dangerous? What's dangerous to you is losing the wonder of the cross, to where it's a given. I know that. I've known it for years. I hear it every Sunday. Everybody's looking for something new and different. In marketing, it's selling a lot of products. Because you know what sells products? It's when they come out with something that's new and improved. And if you need a new and improved gospel, you don't understand or appreciate. You've lost something in your life. You're looking for something different. We got a lot of people out talking about new revelations. I've been in the gospel ministry now for 41 years. And my Bible said there ain't nothing new under the sun. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amens. Amen. We did get some hearty amens from this section. We'll work on this section over here. Hallelujah. There's nothing new under the sun. Fallen man is still fallen, whether he wears an Armani suit or a shepherd's robe. Can you say amen? His needs are exactly the same, where he tries to fulfill it with the technology of the 21st century or the debauchery of the first century. It doesn't matter. Amen. Only God can fill that vacuum within you and within me. Nothing and no one else can fill it. Right now, preachers' divorce rates, because of dissatisfaction with their mate and the pressures of ministry, has risen to a staggering statistic. The discouragement among pastors, 1,300 in America, not in the world, but in this nation, will resign their ministries, go back into secular work. They'll go to church, they'll be Christians, but they won't be pastors. 1,300 a month, 20,000 per year will walk away, put the Bible down. You say, well, how many of them were not called? Well, God will have to sort that out. I don't know. But I know discouragement is real, and it touches everybody. And I didn't realize that ministry. I thought when I became a pastor, I'm going to have all this time to study and pray and fellowship with God. It's going to be wonderful. And I found out when I became a pastor, there were so many demands and so many things to distract me and so many things to literally drain me from my relationship with Him. And I found out years ago that my relationship with Him and to Him was more important than my ministry for Him. And right now, amen, I love everybody that will let me love them. But I won't crawl in the hole with you. I'll throw you a rope if you'll grab the other end. Amen. That rope is named Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll throw you a rope, but I can't pull you out. It's got to be Him on the other end of that rope. I'm too weak. By the way, if it wasn't for a rope being thrown to me, I would never get out of those holes I get in. And I get in them sometimes. There's no magic secret. There's no powerful anointing. This is not about power. Pentecostals got caught up in power instead of the person. And I know tongue talking, prophesying, dreaming, vision seeing, and legitimate gift anointed preachers, pastors, and Christians that get discouraged and give in and give up and give over and go back. It's not about power. This is about a person. And if your heart is not dedicated to the person, that power won't help you. It can't help you. It's your commitment to Jesus that keeps you. And it's His commitment to you. It's a mutual commitment. Amen? The Bible said to keep your heart. This is not about just power. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Somebody goes, and just like they did when I was going to do a teaching on the book of Revelation. Well, people came that didn't normally come to the Holy Church of God in Silver Springs years ago. Because I'm going to teach on Revelation. First thing in a lot of people's mind, he's going to tell us who the Antichrist is. We're going to find out who the Antichrist is. Well, listen, until he's revealed, nobody's going to find out who the Antichrist is. Amen? Amen? But they've been trying for years to figure it out. I believe prophetically, and I believe I could back it up biblically, that he's alive somewhere in our world today. Someday a man is going to step on the scene with the answers for all the problems. Because in the last days, this Bible said there would be distress of nations with what? Perplexity. It's a Greek word for puzzlement. All the great thinkers and the great politicians and the great educationalists and all of the sociologists and the scientific minds, they can't, all of the academics, amen, they cannot figure out how to solve such complex problems that is global around the world. Distress of nations with perplexity, with no answer coming from man. Years ago in the United Nations, one of the dignitaries there stood forth on the floor of the United Nations and made this very scary statement. They said because of the threat back then of the nuclear, somebody pushing the button and starting a nuclear world war. It's beyond anything that we could imagine or dream what would happen in an exchange between Russia and the United States when their missiles come and we saw them coming and we retaliated with our missiles. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the first use of a weapon with atomic energy. What we have now literally makes that look like firecrackers. Man has in his capability, except God step in at some point. Except God step in, and thank God he's going to step in. He's going to step down. Hallelujah. But during that time, this pressure, this anticipatory anxiety, not of just possibilities, but even probabilities of these things happening. Right now, North Korea has nuclear capability, and they've already threatened the United States with it. And South Korea, where we have military. Right now, China has nuclear capability. Pakistan and India have nuclear capability. Iran is developing nuclear capability, and soon they will have the product and the means to deliver a warhead. And when they get it, here's what they're on record as saying. We do not acknowledge Israel's right to exist. And we will not rest till we destroy them. The past leader of Iran believed that he was in a prophetic man, that it was his job to start a war that would begin with the annihilation of Israel as a nation, and that would bring a war that would allow Islam, radical, fanatical Islam, in the chaos of war, to take over the known world. These are the days that we're living right now. So in the United Nations, one of those representatives of some nation, I forget the nation, but this is a quote. We need a man. A man who can cause the nations of the world to sit down and talk with one another. We need a man that will cause them to get rid of these nuclear arsenals, which would be suicide for the world if they all exploded against each other. We need a man that can cause these people that can't work things out, this distress with perplexity. We need a man to cause nations to reason with one another and come to peace terms with one another. And here's what's so scary. He said, whether he be angel or devil, we care not. Well, I'm going to tell you what it's going to be. There is a man that is coming. It's not Christ initially. It's the Antichrist. There's a man who is going to be able to do just that. Because the devil will literally go into him. And all of the demons, the dogs of war that incite war, you know what happens after a 1,000-year reign of Christ? Satan is put into a pit at the beginning of that millennial reign. He's bound by an angel that said, an angel bound that old serpent, the devil, and cast him into a bottomless pit till 1,000 years was ended. But the end of that 1,000 years, when Jesus is reigning right here on planet Earth, he's going to be let out for a season for a final battle to be fought on this planet. The last battle that will ever be fought between light and darkness is going to be fought. And even though they've lived under Jesus' earthly rule and reign for 1,000 years of generations, when he is let out of the pit, he will incite the nations to war against Christ himself. Going to occur in a valley called Megiddo. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And everyone who hasn't accepted Christ as Savior, bowed to Him as Lord, Satan will be able to raise them up, and they will think to destroy Christ and the heavenly armies. I'm going to tell you something. The devil, he never learns. Somebody said Jesus cast out a dumb spirit. They're all dumb. Can you say amen? To think that they can defeat the God that they stood in the presence of and were cast out of heaven as lightning fallen. But he's a liar. He deceived angels to follow him in rebellion. And he's going to deceive nations living under Christ's earthly rule. This is an incredible truth in your Bible. Amen. But it is a truth. And that man, I believe, is being groomed today because the world is not looking for Jesus to come and bring peace to this earth. They're looking for a man. And the devil's going to give them one. And all the demons that incite nations to war, when he comes into the focus, they're going to back off. They're going to say, Let's let this peace come. Let me tell you what is the sign of the end times. When they cry what? Wars and rumors of wars. No, it even said, this shows it's getting close, but the end is not yet. But there's something that said it's here. It's dead on. When they cry peace and safety without Jesus, without God's reign, man-made and man-brought, then shall the end come. When the Antichrist first comes into rule, he's going to solve these perplexing problems. He's going to bring nations together. He's going to bring a monetary system that's going to give everybody enough. And they're going to love him for it. He's going to bring these militant nations to the peace table. He's going to bring global cooperation because the demons are going to stand back. And that false peace is going to come. You know, this is not 7 years of punishments from God, the wrath of God. You know what it begins with? There's only 3.5 years. The last 3.5 is going to be the bowl judgments and the trumpets sounding. The first 3.5 years is a false peace. A utopian world. Amen? But in the middle of that 3.5 years, there's going to be a religious system. There's going to be a world church. And there's going to be a false prophet that leads it and brings cohesion. Listen, can you imagine Islam and Christianity and Hindu and all of that just coming together under one big umbrella? And it'll look like, oh, unity, unity. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. This is a false prophet. And he's going to try to mimic the very miracle that happened on top of Carmel through Elijah. said he's going to, and Satan's going to give him power. It isn't that a miracle isn't going to occur. There are going to be false signs. There'll be a genuine sign, but what it's confirming is false. It's to confirm a lie instead of the truth. That's why so many Christians, you need to get in your Bible. Don't just get in a line somewhere to get prophesied over. Get in the Word of God. Can you say amen? There are false prophets. In fact, the Bible said now more than ever, many false prophets have went out into the earth. And they shall deceive many. And because the love of many, for who? For Christ, shall wax cold. Iniquity shall abound. There's a word in church most people don't want to hear anymore. And it's holiness. Holiness. Be ye holy, you that bear the vessels of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? Why? Because we live in a polluted, perverted world. And we are called to come out from among them. And live a different life with different values, following a different master. Can you say amen? Listen carefully. First 3.5 years is a false peace through a false Messiah and a false prophet. Both of them are referred to as beast in different situations in the Scripture. But as soon as the Antichrist gets the world global influence and the world global military under his control, he's going to turn on that false church. Because he don't even want the mention of God, false or otherwise. And he's going to destroy that leader so that there's none left but him. Because above all, he wants to be worshipped. Sometime we will get in a study in the book. Are you hungry to know today? Are we just giving you something to give you an appetite to know? Amen. Are you tired of just going through the routine? Just listen, God wants you to know what's about to happen, what is primed and ready to happen. He wants you to raise your eyes. Amen. When these things begin, when you see them beginning to come to pass, what happens? Lift up your head. Why? Why lift it up? Lift it up in expectation. Hallelujah, Jesus is coming soon. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Lift up your head. Don't get caught up. Oh, don't get caught up in the affairs of this life. This life is fleeting. It's limited. It's coming to an end. And Jesus is coming soon. And he's coming for a people who are looking for him. And to them that look, that's in anticipation. Hallelujah. And to them that look, he shall appear. Hallelujah. Who's he coming for? Those that are looking for him. And you know who's looking for him? Those who are longing for him. Those who love him can't wait. Maranatha. Maranatha doesn't stand alone in Scripture. It means even so come, Lord Jesus. Should be the watchword of the church. Hallelujah. But it stands directly beside anathema. Maranatha and anathema stand side by side. Maranathema, it means even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. We long for you to come. We're looking for your return. We're living in the light of your soon coming. But the other word means the strongest consternation and judgment of God. One word that represents the justifiable wrath of a holy God. They reject his son. They reject his offer of grace. They count the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. You know what the Bible says about that? If they suffered death under Moses' law when they broke it, the law of God, of how much sore punishment. Suppose they to be worthy who have trodden underfoot. If you wanted to show your disdain for something, you wipe your feet on it. You step on it. You stomp on it. They've trodden underfoot something sacred, something so wonderful, something so gracious and so good. The blood of the everlasting covenant. They heard the message of the cross and they loved their darkness and their sin more than Christ's offer of salvation and deliverance. They would rather follow the darkness than pursue the light. They pushed it back. And the Bible said, this is the condemnation. This is why wrath is going to come. Amen. Light has come into the world. And he that's of the light comes to the light, that his deeds might be manifest, that they're wrought in light. But they chose the darkness over the light. Can you say amen? They chose the darkness. If I have to give up my sin, I don't want salvation. If I have to quit doing wrong, I don't want to be right. One of the words in the book of Revelation that go together is, John said, when he comes to judge the earth, he's not coming with grace. He's not coming with mercy then. He's offering that now. Now is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. This is the time. Not next week. Not next year. Not next month. Now. Jason had a major heart attack. We prayed for you. But serious. You're young. It's supposed to happen to me, not you. I thought you were going to beat me to heaven. That ain't right. I'm supposed to beat you to heaven. But nobody in this room, because of your age and stage of life, has a promise of tomorrow. Jesus put it this way, go to now. Look here now. Let's talk about this. You that say, here's your plan for the future. You're young. That's why they want young men. Listen, they don't want some guy like me to keep his head down in the service, in a war. Come on. Anybody ever see Schwarzenegger in Commando? Because he got big muscles? There is 24 men with AK-47s. They can't hit the broadside of a bar. Amen? They cannot hit. Come on. I mean, maybe you get into it, but I look for a little reality sometimes. And Arnold, he's so big and he's so bad. He's so bad he thinks being big is going to keep him safe. And it does in the movie because they're all firing. They're emptying clips at him. And nothing's hitting him. But boy, he pulls up his weapon. Empties half a clip, 24 of them drop dead. And not only that, he flicks his pecs while he's doing it. Can you say, may he look good doing it. I worked with a wrestler. Used to wrestle at the Sportatorium and the big venue there. He was a bad guy. Nobody heard of him. He was supposed to be a mysterious person, and they all tried to unmask him, but he never got his mask off. He didn't look too great. But anyway, he was... I loved him in the Lord. Hey, man, I remember he's a redneck boy. I tell you, he's Plant City boy. A big old boy. Our checks were delayed. They didn't send them up. Winn-Dixie was cheap. I'm sorry. They were cheap. They still are. Amen. Not in the store, but the way they treated us. Amen. They was. I worked for them. I know. My mama worked for them. My stepdad drove a truck. They wouldn't mail it. They wouldn't wire it. They would send it with a truck driver. Our checks by a truck driver. If he got up in Orlando and got stopped somewhere, our checks didn't get there. And people hanging out at the plant wanted to go home, didn't have no money to get groceries. And I remember Ernie saying, this guy used to wrestle. He said, Rev, I got to have that check today. I got to have it today. I can't leave here till that truck gets here with my check. I'm about out of moon pies. He just might be a redneck. He ain't not worried about bread and milk. But boy, when you get little moon pies, you've got to have that check. He told me, he said, I was so mean. He got right with God just before he dropped dead. Had a heart attack and just died. But Ernie, he said, back when I wrestled, he said, I was so mean. You know, and we're just sitting there in the break room. He said, Rev, I'm telling you, I was mean back then. So I knew he was waiting on somebody to say, So I was the one. I said, "How mean were you, Ernie?" He said, "I was so mean. When I shaved, I had to hold a gun to my head to keep from cutting my own throat." Now that's mean. That's mean. But I remember when Ernie came to work and Ernie said, "Rev, guess where I went Sunday?" I said, "I have no idea, Ernie. Where'd you go?" He said, "I went to church." And he said, "Rev, I want you to know something." He said, "I got right with God." I said, "Ernie, that's the best news that I've ever heard around this whole planet. Angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner gets saved. It makes news in heaven. All of heaven stops. Hallelujah. There's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that comes to know Jesus as Savior. This is the day of salvation. The ark door is open and Jesus is the ark and we're all invited to safety. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow. So the Bible said, "He that's in you," 1 John, "is greater than he that's in the world." Again, it's not just about power and God's superior power. We that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost take that to mean I can overcome the devil simply because I got more power than he got. That's not the context of 1 John. You know what the context of 1 John is? Amen. Hereby, God has given us an unction from the Holy One to know all things. Amen. Amen. We have an unction. Unction in the Greek means a special, specific anointing. See, Jesus said when He, the Holy Ghost, comes, He didn't call Him the Holy Ghost this time. When He, the Holy Spirit, He didn't call Him the Paraclete. He didn't call Him the Comforter. He didn't call Him the Go-Between. He called Him the Spirit of Truth. Can you say amen? When He, the what? The Spirit of Truth has come. What will He do? He will guide you into all truth. And when that truth is applied to your life continually and consistently, if you continue, oh, where do you find it? Amen. Where do we look? With His help to guide us. Amen. Amen. The truth is in not what you feel. Even if an angel, you get full of the Word. If an angel come and he's got beautiful wings. Remember Goosey Lucy? There's all kinds of nuts and falsehoods out there. And all kinds of Christian gullible. Because they don't know the truth. They don't search the Scripture. They go with the healing line and whatever manifestation is happening. And the Bible said, no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Goosey Lucy was one of those false prophetesses. And she knew the gullibility of people that don't get in their Bible. So to get big offerings and to get people stimulated, she would say, "The angels are entering." She'd be in a big building with a stage and platform that she rented. "Angels are entering right now. They're filling the place." Well, of course they are. They're here because we came. If you're Christian, angels encamp round about us. We're in a room full of them right now. Amen. Don't see nothing. When you go out there and that car pulls out in front of you and you just miss them by the skin of your teeth. Just could be that an angel just said, "Whoa." But here come, when she'd no more said that than up over the platform and out into the audience, these beautiful white feathers come floating by. Now, number one, I didn't know that angels molt. Chickens molt. Parrots molt. Birds molt. I used to have birds and raise some of them. They molted. But angels, I don't think they molt. But when people saw them angel feathers, they pulled out of that wallet because there was always a special offering blessing on that particular gift. The angels are here. They just walked in. See the feathers? One guy grabbed one of the feathers. After service, took it to a butcher shop where they got the turkeys ready for Thanksgiving, the goose ready for Christmas. He said, "Does that look like an angel feather to you?" He said, no, I ain't never seen no angel feather. He said, "But I'll tell you what kind of feather this is. This is a goose feather." Her name was Sister Lucy. But once they all found out that this was, she had people with a bag full of goose feathers that they got from that butcher shop. And they had these big high-speed fans going out in the wings behind the curtains, and they just pour these out, and the fans are blowing from the platform out into the audience. And after that, they didn't take her serious no more. And they started calling her Goosey Lucy. Goosey Lucy's back in town. And she had to come up with something else because goose feathers wouldn't work no more. You know, as crazy as that is, it's those Christians out there that are not in here. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. See if they be of God. Well, how in the world are you going to try a spirit? Because I'm so spiritual, I can take it. I'm going to tell you, there's a little bit of truth to that. You know what the truth is to that? Amen. If you get into this and let this get inside of you and the Holy Spirit is leading you, you may not even know what's wrong, but you'll know something's wrong. It's like a little yellow flag goes up inside of you. Say, "Lord, I don't know what's wrong." And some people make you afraid to question. We were in a tent meeting one time and it went haywire. My pastor got in it back then before I was preaching hardly at all. And he got caught up in it. His wife got caught up in it. But my wife and I got this flag and we'd never had a flag before. And somebody had questioned what was going on. And he said, "Ichabod, the Spirit of the Lord depart from you," and run him out of the tent. So we were afraid then. But we went home. We went home. We went home. We went home. We didn't know a whole lot, but we knew there's something in here. Hallelujah. There's something about the Word of God. We knew God let us know early on. You can't follow everybody and every manifestation and everything. You got to follow Jesus. And you got to follow the Word of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I said, "Honey, we can't go back. We can't go back. If the pastor goes, that's between him and God, but we cannot go back. I can't find what that man is saying in here." You know what that man was saying? Oh, man. He would have people come up, and he did crazy things. And people had manifestations. He said, "Have you ever wondered what the Eskimo language sounds like in tongues?" Oh, well. Yeah. Pentecostal audience says, "Show me something. I came here to see something." Called a lady up, laid hands on her. She began to speak in a strange tongue. It had a dialect. Pastor's wife laid hands on her. Have you ever heard what tongues sound like in French? And it had the French or the Chinese twang to it. And that's one thing. But when he called the lady up, and he'd been teaching that he was so anointed that when he preached, that God took him out of his body and set him aside while he was preaching. He was not in his body anymore. Now, I didn't know a lot. We're green as the grass. But I'm getting a flag. I'm getting a flag. Only ghost I want to be around is the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? The real Holy Ghost. Oh, but he's not done. So he says, and Jesus, not the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes in. While my spirit's out here, all the time that I'm preaching, Jesus, that Christ lives in all Christians. Christ in you and in me is the hope of glory. If he can live in me, amen, I can live with him. That's how much the blood has done in my life and yours. But he said, see where he's going here. He's bringing people under his direct. There's so much to tell and so little time to tell it. But Satan's whole agenda, through deception, is I want to sit in the congregation. I want to set my throne above the stars of heaven. I want to sit in the congregation of the north. I want to be like the Most High. And I can take you into a study in the book of Revelation and show that he is trying to mimic all the miracles, amen, of the Bible, including the fire out of heaven, which he does through the false prophet. He will cause fire out of heaven and through lying wonders. That it'll actually fall, but it will be to confirm a lie and not the truth. And people running around just looking for manifestations without the Word of God inside of them and the Spirit of truth guiding them will fall for all of this junk, just like they were falling for it under that particular tent meeting. And he said, my spirit is sitting over here in the corner. And when I pick up the Bible, begin to preach, Jesus comes into me. And then to prove his point, he called a woman up, 40-year-old woman, been in church for years. We just getting into this thing. We don't know nothing, but that little flag is waving. Come on, church, that little flag is just, it feels good in there. But that little flag is just waving on the inside. Holy Spirit on the inside of me is getting grieved. I wasn't afraid, but I was deeply concerned about what was going on. He calls a lady up and he says, look me in the eye. And she looked him in the eye. Now he's proving this point to us, what he just said. Said, who do you see? Power of suggestion and deception. Who do you see? She's looking at him. And she says, I see Jesus. And she flutters back and falls out. Now everybody in that crowd is under this influence. But my wife and I are sitting there saying, we got to get out of here. Feet don't fail me now. There's a little bit of trepidation. We were concerned because we were taught not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. And we were not sure what all this was at that time. But I am not afraid to question now. I'm not afraid to stand up now. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, I've been in this too long. Can you say amen? I said, I've been in this too long. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I stand up now. I question now. And Paul said, I honor the Christians at Berea more than any of the other places we've preached. We preached. There was signs and wonders. There was miracles. It was the truth that we preached. But they didn't take it at face value. They went home. Because they went home. They went home and searched the Scripture. Hallelujah. To see if those things that Paul said be true. They said, we don't care that everybody getting healed. We don't care that everybody getting filled. We want to know, is it lining up with what the prophets have said? Can you say amen? When they questioned Jesus, he said, what saith the Scripture? When Jesus operated, he said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Amen. Woo! John 8, 30 and 31, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. Because he'll come and guide you into the truth. Sanctify them through thy word. John 15, for thy word is truth. Can you say amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Woo! What is truth? They asked him. He said, it's me. He's the way also. Told you about the missionary. Took a plane to the airport, a smaller plane, to a man he met at a riverbank. Plane landed on a lake, got in a dugout canoe, and they took him to a little village. They were trying to get him to a bigger village to preach the gospel. He said, it's about 12 or 15 miles through the jungle that way. He said, but we got a guide to take you there. He said, all right. Didn't know where he was. Didn't have no map. But he had a guide. And the guide came and said, follow me. He fell in behind the guide, and everything was going good for a while. Path run out. Now it's just woods and jungle and leaves and animal sounds and dark, almost blotting out the sun. They're walking through the jungle. He's about 6 miles in. He's tired. He's wore out. He's fatigued. He's doubting his guide. And he said, are you sure? He just couldn't hold it in any longer. He said to his guide, this native that knew English, he said, are you sure we're on the right path? His guide turned around and said, I am the path. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the path, I am the truth, I am the life. Amen. I'm not asking you to figure it all out. I'm asking you to follow me. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard a Navy man talking about coming in to the port with this big, big battleship. He'd received Christ as his Savior. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he said, when we got to a point where we didn't know exactly where the channel was. We didn't know exactly. We could go this way or that way. We could veer one way or the other a little bit and run this big ship aground. So we had to stop, put everything in dead stop, and wait on a special pilot. A guy from that port, he come out. They brought him out in a little bitty boat. He come out in that little bitty boat with permission to come aboard. But I'm going to tell you something. Holy Spirit is asking permission to come aboard. Can you say amen? He won't do it without your permission and surrender. But if you give it to him, he will come aboard. And when he comes, he'll what? He'll guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Permission to come aboard. He said, I told him, permission granted. He said, I was a commander in the United States Navy, but when that man who knew exactly how to bring these big ships and did it every day into this port and knew where the channel was, said, I stepped back and I gave him the command of my ship. And he brought it in right dead in without going to the left or to the right. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, there's a time when you've got to let the Holy Spirit do the leading. Praise God. He said, you know what? He said, when I got the Holy Ghost, I found out that he's the special pilot. And I have to give over the helm to him. Hallelujah. And he's been leading me in the path of righteousness. He's been leading me, amen, through the snares of the enemy. He's been leading me to victory. We need a lot more people in that word and a lot more people letting the Holy Spirit take over. Can you say amen? He will guide you into all truth. If you continue in my word, John 8, verse 30 and 31, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Oh, somebody asked me at work, Rev, didn't the Bible say the truth will make you free? I said, no. No! The Bible said, if you continue in my word. You can't sit out of church, sit at the house and watch cartoons. And I like cartoons. I I mean, not the ones now. I don't get some of them now. I mean, there's some crazy outfit out there called Cartoon. Give me the Roadrunner. Beep, beep. Three Stooges. You can do it. Come on. All right, all right. It's a little weak, but we'll let you get by. Sunday in church. How we need. You know, their mouth fell open. If you continue in my word, that's when the Spirit of truth guides you, because that is the truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Your first piece of armor is not the sword. It's not the shield. It's not the helmet. It's not the breastplate. It is not the hobnail boots to stand your ground with. The first thing that the Roman soldier did when he got out of bed in the morning was strap on his belt. This wide belt that had the sheath that held his sword. It hinged on that. In fact, you know what the sword is called spiritually? Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you don't know the Word, you got a sheath, my brother and my sister. Amen? You got a sheath. You got a beautiful scabbard. Amen. You got a Bible, and you got a... Where's your pretty Bible cover? Boy, that thing is nice. Look at that. Got a cross on it. Look like a high-end purse. You got a Bible in it. You can carry that thing to church. You got a scabbard that's just beautiful. The devil doesn't care. Don't scare him at all, seeing you carry your Bible around. Can you say amen? But when you begin to say, it is written. Amen, because you know what's written. And you know, when you say it is written, something happens. Something occurs. You remove the sword from its scabbard. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the listen, when Jesus comes, how's he going to destroy Satan and all that he's tried to build up? He said a sword is coming out of his mouth. Amen. Is it a literal sword coming out of Jesus' mouth? No, it isn't. It's the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. Let me clue you in on something. Here's some shouting ground for you. The Word in your mouth holds as much authority as it did in God's mouth, because it's God's Word. The word's not going to be in your mouth until it's in your heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but it's not done. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hold fast your confession of faith without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. You know what that word profession means? It's the word confession in the Greek. And it's not just saying it, it's knowing it in your heart before you speak it in your mouth. But you got to speak it. You got to speak it. You got to speak it. It's the word in the Greek that means to say the same thing as another. What are we saying? Are we just speaking words of faith? Are we saying what the Bible says, what God has spoken? And it holds authority. But if you sit back and let the devil take advantage of you, he wants your soul. He wants you to wait. He wants you to wait. He don't want you to come to God today, tomorrow, next week, or next month. He wants you to think you can anytime you choose. He wants you to think that you're going to have notice as you're dying. That you're going to feel death coming on and say, well, I can't sin in this condition, so I guess I'll give up my sin now and receive Jesus as my Savior. That's one of the most dangerous deceptions that could ever fall upon a human being. Because you're not guaranteed time like that. If an aneurysm occurs in your brain today, if something happened in my brain, you say, yeah, I knew there was something, brother, than Well, that's all right. If I'm doing this with half a brain, you ought to be able to do it with the whole brain. What a lie. I went to PTL years ago, and there was a young man leading singing there. I didn't know. It looked like he had no trouble. He was a young black man, and he sang, opening the PTL for the cameras after the service. He came after me in the rain and the cold and said, "Sir," he said, "audiences are looking here, looking there." His wife came to me, his new wife. They'd just recently married. She said, "My husband said to catch you and tell you that he sang to you today because you looked like you were just drinking it in." He said, I saw everybody else looking at cameras and looking for Tammy and looking for, you know, the celebrities. He said, "I was singing for the Lord, but I was singing to you because you were focused. Because, see, I was hurting. I was in need. I was drinking it in. Show me Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. I'm not interested in all the showmanship here. Tell me. I need Jesus. I was looking to Jesus," says the author. I knew PTL couldn't deliver me, and Jim Baker couldn't deliver me, and I knew only Jesus could set me free from what I was going through. And she said, "You know, my husband felt God's peace while he sang coming from you." And I was troubled. How am I ministering peace to me trouble? Because it's not me, it's Jesus in me. Amen. You find that out pretty early. Amen. She said, "He has went through some of the hardest times of his life." Said his young wife, preparing supper, had an aneurysm, dropped dead in the kitchen. Blood vessel burst in the head, you're gone. There's no time to get right. There's no time to come to Jesus. That's why this is the day. Now is the accepted time. There'll never be a better time than now. I love walking. Listen, I got to drive the interstate home. There's a section of interstate I performed a funeral for. Annette's son, coming back from a basketball game in Tampa, somewhere between McIntosh and Park Road on that interstate. It's the deadliest strip of interstate in the whole state of Florida. They don't know why more fatalities occur, but they just keep on occurring. I drive that here, I drive it home, I drive it when I come to Tampa, I drive it going back. I'm glad I know Jesus. Man and his wife coming from Lakeland to pick their daughter up at the airport. They're behind a truck hauling cars. A car comes loose and falls off the truck onto them. And mom and daddy are dead instantly. Instantly. And there's no opportunity to go to church and get right and make promises and get saved. It's over. And the scripture is very clear. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. In other words, you don't get saved after you die. Now is the day. This is the time.
Yes. Yes.
And I've seen people cling to their sin over the call of the Savior. And it scares me silly. Jesus put it this way, if he were here, this is exactly what he would say. It astonished him, and he was God incarnate. He said, "What would a man give? What would a man give in exchange for his soul?" Remember the guy he talked about? A real guy. He said there was a certain man, he fared sumptuously every day. His barns were so full, and he kept being blessed materially. He said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down these barns and build bigger barns because these barns can't hold it all." right how he was making that plan, Jesus said, "Thou fool, this day, this night, your soul is going to be required of thee. And who shall these things belong to then? What would a man give? Is it illicit sex? Is it more material possessions? Is it some kind of stupid habit that we're afraid God might require us to give up? I'm going to tell you, everything I ever gave up, he filled with himself. Amen. I haven't done without nothing. Can you say, man, I haven't done without nothing? Do you think I'm living in some kind of religious box where there's no fun? I had the flu and went to a clinic. It just wouldn't shake. I'd prayed and I went to a clinic. Yes, I went to a clinic. It's been years and years and years, maybe 30 years, but I was in a clinic. And there was a male nurse came in and he was checking my vitals. And he said, "Do you smoke?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you drink?" I said, "No." And he just couldn't believe it. He just turned around and looked at me and said, "Well, you don't have any fun, do you?" Oh, son, you don't know what fun is. I've been there. I've done that. Amen. I don't need it. It's not. Brother Venable, are you having a struggle with whiskey? No. Dear Lord in heaven, no. What about wine? Only wine I ever drank tasted like grape juice with vinegar in it. I don't want no vinegar in it. Give me iced tea, Pepsi Cola. You say, "Brother Bimbo, you ever get high?" Oh man, a couple of Sundays ago, I didn't think I could get much higher without going home. Glory to God. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? It wasn't the happy hour. That's between 5 and 7. Everybody knows that. Amen? Amen? They came out of the upper room so filled with God by the Holy Spirit. First thing, they said, "What does this mean? This crowd gathered, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean?" What did he say? "Well, you know, let me take you through a scripture." First thing he said out of his mouth, because he knew what they were thinking, "These men are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Church ain't drunk no more. She's sick. Bloated. Sitting around on the premises full of the power of God. Down in the dumps. Focusing on ourselves. Living in the last of the last days in the kingdom for a time such as this. And I refuse to play religion. I want to see a revival. I want to see souls saved. I want to see God win. I want to see the devil defeated. I want to see God's people rise up in His truth. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see the sick healed. I'm sorry. I just want to see it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want some more. I am not satisfied. Amen. You couldn't build me a church big enough to satisfy me if somebody don't get saved. You couldn't give me a church big enough to satisfy me if somebody don't get delivered, if somebody don't get healed, if somebody don't get revived. I know pastors that are satisfied. They complete their building program. In the eyes of man, they're success. We need pastors that are holy enough to weep over their audience. One of them, Chuck Swindoll, who is not Pentecostal, but he said, "The longer I preach," and he pastors a huge church, and he goes to conferences, and his books are all over the book racks in the bookstores. He's got all of those allocades and symbols of success pastorally and as a preacher. But he let us see his heart as he spoke. And I'm glad I saw what was in his heart, because it's in my heart. He said, the longer I preach, the more I am convinced. See, he wasn't satisfied with all that big audience and all of the salary and all of the big church and all of the trappings and all of the fame and fortune that comes with it. You know what he said? He said, the longer I preach, the more I'm convinced that so many people in my congregation are not ready to meet Jesus. They are not saved. And you know why he came to that conclusion? Amen. With all those people showing up and giving on Sunday, he said, because there is no detectable change. Come on. Come on. If you come to Jesus, a change occurs. Something has to change. Something has to change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. Can you say amen? Wow. So you're in a church with a passionate preacher. I want to see people saved. I don't want you to wake up in hell someday and not be given the opportunity to know Jesus as your Savior. I don't want any of my family members being lost. I intercede for them. I'm not praying they get in church. I'm praying they come to Jesus. If going to church will help them come to Jesus, then go to church. But I want them to know Christ. Oh my goodness, it's your birthday party. There must have been 100 of your in-laws and outlaws and relatives and cousins and uncles. And one of the things he said, I had to leave. We sat in, we don't have the Pope Mobile, but we got the Pastor Mobile. It's my Astro van. We sit with the motor on. That's where we counsel. And I wasn't there for what he said. He said, if you want to do something for me, come to church Sunday morning. Hear the Word of God. He has a heart to see his family saved. Not just get in a building and go through a ritual, but to come to know Jesus. Can you imagine if that whole bunch came to Jesus? We'd have to build on here just to hold them. Amen, let alone anybody else. I want to see a mighty revival, Sister Venable. Hallelujah. I've been preaching for too long to play along now. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord hadn't put me out to pasture yet. That's why he allowed me to walk away. Amen. I pastored for 40 years. We don't have a big successful church. There's no status symbol here. I could just bow out and preach wherever they let me. Amen. But God sent me here for something. And he's holding me here for a reason. And I don't want to leave you. I want to see his purpose revealed here. If you want to see it. But we got to get on the same page. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't blame this or that or the other. You got to come and take your stand and say, what am I doing for Jesus Christ? Amen. Somewhere, someday, when I get to heaven, somebody that I've never met is going to come running down a golden street, and they're going to give me a great big old hug. And they're going to say, preacher, you didn't know that I was listening on that radio. You didn't know that I had my computer on. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I have come to know Christ as my Savior. Thank you for bringing the Word to me. And that'll mean more than big churches and big salaries and big names and big shots. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God isn't through with me. And he's not through with you. Newsflash. Can you say, man, God is still at work in you. But don't ever lose the wonder of the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for Holy Communion? Just to focus. I'm going to ask a question before we're served. Is there anyone in this room you need Christ as your Savior? I always ask that before communion because you need to know that you know that you know. Anyone here, you want prayer before we receive communion? Anyone here? And some have come not too long ago. Some of you sitting here have come. to know Jesus recently as your Savior? How many know He's beginning to put pressure on you for change right now? God's beginning to put His finger on the things that He wants changed. He always does that. You can't have Him without change. He loves you. He accepts you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. Can you say, man? He'll call you to follow Him. He'll call you apart from the culture and the world about you. And it's a wonderful call after He saves you. Praise God. All right? Invitation is giving, and God is good, and the invitation is open as we receive this Holy Communion today. Glory to God. Will you please serve us, brother? How many want to know more about the end that we're living in and what we're to be doing? What we should be doing? How many want to know more about what the Bible teaches about spirits and how to try spirits and how to recognize and how to be led in a plain, clear pathway? Praise God. Amen. I want to teach you. I want to teach you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.